Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health. I am so delighted you're here because you being here is a profound statement of your values, of what you believe is important in your life. And you just showing up means that you are giving time to yourself and giving yourself a space of sanity, of inspiration, of wisdom in the middle of your day. You know, we're bombarded by so many messages every day, and it's easy to get overwhelmed by them. And to start, let them program and determine what's going on inside your head. You want to make sure that you stay in control of what goes in. And of course, we have this profound ability to control what comes out. Viktor Frankl famously in the 1940s talked about how between stimulus and response, there's a gap. And in that gap, we decide who we are and what we'll do. And we can have many different responses to every situation depending on who we are and what we decide. We'll learn a lot more about that in the course of our time together today. So you just being here, you showing up is time for you. It's time for your inspiration. It's time for learning. I also want to encourage you to make it time for an action plan. So as you know, if you've listened to previous shows, I encourage you to listen with a journal and at least take notes in some form or another, and then look into how you can apply the ideas we'll cover in the next hour in your life. Again, being inspired is wonderful. I know the show will inspire you. That's pretty much a guarantee. But then implementing it is the next critical step. So I'm going to ask you to do active listening, be taking those notes, and wind up after our hour together with an action plan. You also know I'm famous for interrupting our guests and turning their advice into exercises that you will do on the spot, right then and there, to encourage you to operationalize what you're learning here. So it's delightful to have you. It's wonderful to have you part of this community. And the final thing I'll ask you to do before I share our guest's bio for today is I want to ask you to send links to the show to people who are suffering. I know I was mountain biking the other day, and I was on a road part of the time, and I was just watching the faces of the drivers who drove by. And the most positive expression was preoccupation. But a lot of them were frowning. A lot of them looked like they weren't having very good days. And I just thought, you know, people suffer. And why do we do what we do? Why do transformational leaders and inspirational people write books and create online programs and do coaching and do therapy and all these other ways of shifting our experience? That's because there's so much suffering in the world. And you know people right now who are suffering. And I'm going to ask you to think about the people who could use a boost of positivity in your life and then send them a link to a show or two that could make a difference for them. Please go ahead. Be generous. Don't just inspire yourself. Inspire others as well with your radiance and your actions. So thank you in advance for sharing what's going on today and also sharing in ways that are meaningful to people in your community. I am so delighted to welcome our guest today because as I was looking through his two books, I could feel his remarkable spirit, intention, and energy. I know you're going to resonate with him and with his message. His name is Jerry Polana. He is the CEO and co-founder of the executive coaching firm Reboot. And for more on the company, go to reboot.oi. He is a coach and speaker. He's the author of Reboot, Leadership and the Art of Growing Up, and also the book Reunion, Leadership and the Longing to Belong. For more than 20 years, he has used his experiences as CEO, investor, journalist, college professor, and a coach to help people lead with humanity, resilience, and equanimity. He lives in Boulder, Colorado, and is the father of three. Jerry, it's such a delight to have you here.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here with you. And what an introduction. I feel inspired just listening to you.
Oh, we haven't even got going yet.
That's right.
Let's start. Start on the highest possible note and then go on from there. And you've done a whole bunch of different things in your life. Now, obviously, your values, your approach has been, there's common threads there. But what led you to all these different careers?
I think that if we take a step back and say, you're right, I've had many different careers and I've gone through many different transitions. Each of those transitions was, in a sense, additive of my life. And I think that that's an important point to make, is that every time I shifted, I brought forward something from the past and then added to it. So when I was a reporter, I carried that forward when I became an investor, and then later I carried that forward as a coach. But I think what's important to note is, why the heck would somebody leave venture capital and this sort of hollow ground of a business to then study Buddhism and walk away from that business only to turn around and be an executive coach? And what I often point out is that transition was because of a broken heart. That transition was because, to use language that I think you would resonate with, I was living a life that was out of integrity with my inner values. The outer me and the inner me did not match. And that's what led me to become a coach.
The outer me and the inner me don't match. You know, this is early in the game to do this, but I'm going to ask all of us listening to think for a moment about this and grab your journal and write down one area of your life where inner and outer aren't in alignment. Where do inner and outer not match for you right now? You can journal about this more later, and so you may be thinking about your body. You might be thinking about where you're investing your money. You might be thinking about your work. You might be thinking about some particular component of your career. You might be thinking about some friendship or some social group you're a part of. And even though you may have been a perfect match for it at a certain time, as Jerry was for his earlier, those mismatches grow. So just write down, and you can explore this further in your journal, but for the time being, just write down, where in your life right now can you feel that grinding mismatch of things not syncing up? Sorry, Jerry, but I couldn't resist that one.
Well, I'm going to build upon what you said and offer a second question, which was a question that really transformed my life. And it came about after I was struck down while walking on the beach with a severe migraine that ended up putting me in the hospital. And my therapist said to me in frustration, "What are you not saying that you need to say?" And so I would offer as a clue to figuring out if that inner and outer is in alignment, are there things that you're not saying that you need to be saying? And are there things that you're saying that are not being heard?
Wow, profound questions.
Well, as a coach, we live, our currency is the well-asked question, isn't it? It's designed not to tell people what to do, of course, but to help people find their own solution.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's your current work, guiding people there. I'm just curious, too, your stint as a professor, what led you into and out of academia?
Well, it was a brief stint. It was only about 4 years. And what happened was, well, I went to Queens College, which is part of the City University of New York. And for those who understand CUNY is, it's a well-run education institution primarily for first-generation children going to college. So many of its students are immigrants or the children of immigrants. And I struggled as a kid with poverty. My family, it wasn't clear that I was going to go to university. And going to university, going to Queens College, in many ways saved my life. And so later on, when I was a successful investor and the school reached out to see if I could help, I volunteered. They paid me $1 a year to teach. And the course that I taught was on leadership, but the kids would call it Jerry's Money and the Meaning of Life. So, I loved it.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then how come you, so it was just a brief stint, and then you moved to...
Well, I started teaching when I was still an investor, and then I transitioned away from being an investor. As I mentioned before, I had this profound depression came over me in my late 30s. And the thing to understand is that I grew up battling depression all of my life. And so in my late 30s, when the depression came back with a vengeance and suicidal ideation became a strong companion, if you will, it became clear that I needed to make a significant shift in my life. And that significant shift was to walk away from the success, the outward success that I had. I was considered one of the best investors in the business. And I kind of journeyed inward and found the true calling that I has always been there, which is to, you mentioned it before, to work towards the alleviation of suffering of others in the world. And it was in that space that I found solace and I could let go finally of the depression.
Powerful. What techniques were you using? What was creating that solace in your life and shifting your mood?
Well, I started studying Buddhism. And so I'll tell a quick little Buddhist tale. The tale goes like this. One day the student comes to the master and says to the master, "Master, what is the path to enlightenment?" And the master turns around and lifts up his robes and shares his bare bottom and points to the calluses. And what he's saying, and what he's saying is, we have to sit. We have to sit and confront ourselves. We have to confront the things that are going unsaid in our lives that we need to say, the things that have plagued us since childhood, that have held us back, the belief systems that have, in some ways, shaped how we respond to the world, so that we can lift up the consciousness and choose. I'm reminded of the Carl Jung quote, "I am not what has happened to me. I am what I choose to become." And so that was a period of me choosing to become something other than what I was.
Wow, profound. And we can make those choices. And very often we don't think we can. We think we are the product of our past. And we don't believe we have that agency and that power. I'm guessing you probably work with people who often have that power but don't realize it.
I think that's exactly right. I think that one of the limiting beliefs that we carry from childhood is that we don't have the power to change a situation. You know, I'm quite famous for a particular question. I love questions. To me, they're like koans. And the question that I'm most famous for is, how have I been complicit in creating the conditions I say I don't want? And one of the conditions that we can be complicit, not responsible for, we can be an accomplice to creating, is the sensibility that we lack the agency and power to shape our own life. This is not to say that we don't have traumas and wounds. Of course we do. But one of the ways we stay trapped, and kind of now I'll date myself, the needle stays stuck in the record's groove. One of the ways that we stay stuck is holding on to the belief that this is all happening to us and we cannot affect the world around us.
So let's just pause there for another moment of reflection. And write in your journal, where are you in that groove? Where are you believing that it's just the way things are, just the way the world is, just the way I am, just the way circumstances are? Where have you moved into that perspective in your life? And again, this is just between you and your journal. Santa Claus is not watching. He's not judging you. There's no therapist in the room. And there's no one there except thoughts. So just be really honest with yourself as you make a note in your journal for further exploration later on. Where are you firmly stuck in a groove? And perhaps not believing you have that agency, that you have that power, that you have that ability to shift things. And it's there for all of us, even the areas we think are just fixed. I know when I do this exercise myself, which I do every once in a while, I think it's because of things out there. But when I really get honest with myself, I see, to answer that question that Jerry's asking us here, how I am complicit in creating that situation. That's so powerful because it helps us shift into the next set of inquiries, which has to do with how can I change it? And so that starts to claim our power again to ask that question. We're going to go to a break right now. Please keep on journaling during the break if you'd like to, and we'll be back shortly. For more on Jerry's work, go to the website reboot.io. And again, his new book is called Reunion. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get The Genie in Your Genes today.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Remember, freedom of choice. www.HealthyLife.net.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. I am your high energy host, Dawson Church. I love being here with you. I love sharing every week. I love being here. Just period. You know, waking up in the morning, meditating every morning. Wow. I mean, just jumping out of bed the other day, actually a couple of days ago, I jumped out of bed and I usually run around and meditate and do things in the morning. And my wife wakes up a couple of hours later and joins me for a bit of meditation before she goes about her day. And the phrase resonating in my mind as I woke up that morning was, we are in the playground of gods. We're like in Disneyland for gods. We're just like these beings who get to be exuberant here. I also have a ton of grandchildren, and so they are reminding me every day how exuberant we can be and inviting all of us to play. So play with your life. How can you move into that space? Being here part of this community is part of it. And this is powerful wisdom. And also we're challenging you here to think about ways in which you might just be shutting yourself down. I'm going to go into in the next segment into how we're doing that sometimes unconsciously. So, Jerry, we have access to some of this in the act of self-inquiry, and we get a few palaces, we sit, we meditate, we do some self-reflection, and so we have some insights. How do we deal with ways in which we disempower ourselves that are subconscious, that aren't accessible to our conscious awareness?
Well, it's a great question, and I'm really glad that you created the space for that, because I have found that people move a little too quickly to the transformation. And what do I mean by that? So we're asking this question about complicity. We're asking this question about how I've been a participant in creating the conditions, and how sometimes part of our limiting belief is that we don't have the power. Once we start to identify that, the impulse is very quickly to change it. And I'm going to suggest that we pause, maybe put some calluses on our buttocks, and sit with another question. And this question is, how has this belief system served me? And this is counterintuitive, Dawson. It's counterintuitive because the minute we begin to look at the structures of our life, the first impulse is to either feel guilty, to feel somehow that we're broken because we have these impulses, or to deny them. And those three moves interrupt the self-inquiry process, what I call the radical self-inquiry process. So a kind of jujitsu move to get past the defenses is to say to oneself, how has it been a benefit to me, so that I can then appreciate what my unconscious has been doing for me all along, right? So a good example of this would be, oh, I'm so busy. Dawson, let me tell you, I am so busy, I can barely breathe. Pause. How does it serve you to feel busy all the time? Oh, well, I feel important. Well, what if you felt important not because of what you do, but simply because of who you are? How might your life be different if we started with the base understanding that you're lovable, that you're worthy of love, safety, and belonging just by being a human being? So you see the value of that little jujitsu move? How has it served me? Not, how has this thought process held me back? So this way we can open up our hearts with empathy and compassion first to ourselves, which I think is a necessary condition to create the transformation we seek.
Listening to ourselves, understanding ourselves, and making space for ourselves initially, and then seeing how we can find ways that we can express those needs that are in alignment rather than the frantic ones we've been using up to this point. So it's powerful to take that pause and to do that. Wow, what a profound insight. And then you mentioned about the example you used was belonging, and you talk about this a lot in your books, and it's just beautiful. I found my heart touched as I was reading passages from them and realizing that you're applying those principles of attachment and community and belonging to teams and to businesses, and we don't usually think of them in that way. But that's the whole way that you approach these big collective enterprises. And in fact, you recommend that leaders lead with that in mind. I thought that was a very, very different way to see, to perceive the whole enterprise of a business.
Well, you know, Dawson, I think that there are three great powers that shape the human experience. One is government. Another is religion. And the third, it's actually business. Businesses in the pursuit of, say, profit over people have profound implications for the lives of people. And we can struggle to have our religious institutions live up to the moral standards that they profess. And we can certainly struggle to have governments live up to the morals that they profess. And somehow we let this other great power off the hook. We say that somehow when you become a powerful business leader, you are no longer responsible for being a good human being. And karma, the divine, has put me in this very strange Venn diagram between business, spirituality, and psychology. And it is my moral imperative to bring those three together and to understand that as long as we don't hold our business leaders to the highest standards of human interaction, then we let them off the hook. And we have no one to blame but ourselves.
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting to me to see the way that's played out in the field of these giant social media companies over the last decade. Because initially, we remember what Google's initial slogan was when it was first founded?
Do no evil.
That's right. That was the way they began, but soon, you know, they were, of course, manipulating algorithms to put certain results first and presenting ads that were disguised and weren't obvious to use as they were ads and all these other things. And so Facebook faced all the same kinds of dilemmas and often came down to the side of profit rather than the side of people or ethics. And that, of course, led to this huge social backlash. So I think we've had a pendulum swing and done some course correction. And I think that now with AI, we're much less casual in assuming that it'll turn out okay. Leave it to the investors and the businesses that are developing it. So I think we're stumbling in the right direction here.
Well, I think you're more hopeful than I am, and that doesn't surprise me given the power of your positivity. But what I would say is, regardless of whether or not we're hopeful, this is our responsibility to lean into this work. You know, in Reunion, the epigram that starts off chapter 7 is a quote from the Talmud by Rabbi Tarfon. And he says, it is not your responsibility to complete the work, but neither are you at liberty to ignore the work. And I just want to pause and offer that that is a profoundly important philosophy, because it says that we must try to make the world better, even if we believe we will fail.
You know, when Donald Trump was first elected, I was at a big conference of transformational leaders, and I was just feeling so just disappointed in the direction of the country. So Jack Canfield is a wonderful friend of mine. He said, well, what do you do for a living, Dawson? I said, well, I lead workshops. I have a big energy, and I train therapists and coaches and stress reduction methods, and I just love doing what I do. And he said, okay, so if Donald Trump hadn't been elected, if Hillary Clinton had won, what would you be doing? I said, well, I'd be leading workshops and training therapists and coaches. He said, now Donald Trump's won, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to train therapists and I'm leading workshops.
Right.
Do the work. It doesn't really matter what else is going on around you. So what a powerful way, what a powerful lens through which to see this. Wow.
I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Parker Palmer. Parker wrote the foreword to Reunion, and he's been a dear friend now for 20 years. And he has an image that I would offer you that feels resonant in this moment. He talks about life in the tragic gap. And the gap is between the world as it could be and the world as it is. And he warns that if we give over to the world that it could be, we are in danger of giving over to what he calls irrelevant idealism. But if we give over to the world as it is, we give over to the world of toxic cynicism. So our task is to stay right in that gap and do what we know is the morally correct thing, even when we know we will fail.
Wow. Okay, so as we're about to take our next break, journal about this. Where is there that gap for you where you know it's important to do the right thing, even though success isn't guaranteed? You might fail. Where do you know it is important to do the right thing when you aren't necessarily going to be seen doing the right thing? So ask yourself that question, journal about that as we go into our next break. My name is Dawson Church. For more on Jerry Colonna's work, go to the website rebooth.io. We'll be right back after a break.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net. Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at LovingRelationshipsNow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit LovingRelationshipsNow.com.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. It works quickly and has no side effects. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com. That's tappinggift.com. Don't suffer when help is at your fingertips. Get your manual at tappinggift.com today.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hello, and welcome back to High Energy Health. Isn't it interesting to listen and reflect on these big questions? We're asking you some of the big ones over here. The big existential questions about your life, the big questions about society and government and business. Wow! Isn't it nice to step back from the fray and just look at the big picture with this amazing heart and mind of Jerry Kalana? And I would strongly recommend his books because not only is the information in them really thought-provoking, just the way his questions are, his tone is love, compassion, wisdom. You know you are sharing the heart of a person who is coming at these questions from a deeply compassionate and wise place. So check out his website and also his newest book, Reunion. Jerry, so this is a way of living with a sense of perspective on our lives, not being enmeshed in them. This is the essence of mindfulness, to detach, to disengage yourself from everyday impulsive activity and just doing what you do, and then really thinking long, hard, and deep about what it is you're doing and why. That enterprise is something that you as a coach help people do. And you also pointed out that often we aren't doing that. Often we have these conscious or unconscious assumptions that are just running our lives, and we aren't taking that step back. What's one of the first and easiest ways which someone can do that, can actually just disentangle themselves from all the demands, all the short-term questions and activities that fill their awareness, and then take time to do the kind of reflection that you're having us do today?
Well, I think you referenced it earlier when you talked about the gap between stimulus and response. You also referenced it by encouraging people to journal. And to be clear, I've been journaling since I was 13 years old, and I'm 60, so I've got a lot of journals. The way into journaling that I move, and I think of journaling as an extension of my meditation practice. So I journal after I meditate after I journal. It's all one practice. And it's a practice of pausing, developing some calluses on your butt, and looking inward and taking note of how am I actually feeling in this moment. See, to me, feelings are, you know, they often say that the eyes are the windows into the soul, but I think feelings are the window into the soul. Feelings tell us, Amitabha Chodron, the Buddha's teacher, has this wonderful teaching, which is, be grateful to everyone, including those who press your buttons, because they show you where you're stuck. And what a brilliant piece of insight. Because what happens for most humans is, we get stuck on the stuckness. We ruminate on that wretched individual who really kicked us off. And so we then drive down the road, as you noticed, right, when you were biking, and we've got that scowl on and that frown on, and then all of a sudden we're hitting the horn and we're everybody, terrible driver. Right? As opposed to pausing and saying, what's the threat? Is my perception real, as Byron Katie would teach us? What is actually going on for me? And equally important, how have I been complicit in this? And how has it served me to look at the world? I had an interaction with a client last week. We were talking about his COO, Chief Operating Officer, and their intense relationship. And I said, well, you know, she likes being annoyed all the time. And he said, what? And I said, well, think about it. It maintains her sense of righteousness, right? That kind of little peek behind the curtain. And we start to see that the Wizard of Oz is no more than just a short little man who's got a big ego, who's dancing as fast as he can to make us believe in something. That's the process, I think, where we begin to release ourselves from some of these belief systems.
Wow, yeah. And stepping back far enough to see it is powerful, because when you're caught up, say, in the interaction with the COO and you're being annoyed by her attitude, then you're reactive and you're enmeshed.
That's right. Enmeshed and entangled. And that's no way to live one's life.
And also reinforcing the pattern that you've got in that relationship.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow. So think for a moment, as you're listening to these points Jerry is making here, where are you entangled? Who are you entangled with? Where are there repetitive patterns? We know from the field of family therapy and family patterns, Gregory Bateson in the 1920s was pointing out that families are systems, family systems, that workplaces, teams are systems. Margaret Mead was pointing this out in the 1930s and 40s, and that they tend to develop a life of their own. And so where in your life are there systems that is keeping you stuck, keeping you acting the way you act, thinking the way you think, and unable to extricate yourself to see that larger picture? When you do step back the way Jerry is advocating, when you journal, when you reflect, you might well see it in a very different way. And I want to just plug meditation too. Jerry used the analogy of the Zen master with his buttocks covered with calluses. And often we do see things differently. We do calm down when we meditate, and we see people differently, we see the world differently, we see ourselves differently. So if you're triggered, give yourself that space and time to develop a callus or two more on your behind. Without responding right away, give yourself a moment or two just to really reflect. I know I'll do that sometimes in the middle of the day, even when I'm really busy. If I feel I'm off base, if I feel I'm about to respond to somebody in an unbalanced way, over meditate for a few minutes, disentangle myself, and then you'll find you're much wiser after you've taken that pause. We're going to go to a break right now, but please stay tuned, and we'll be back with more of High Energy Health. Strongly recommend Jerry Colonna's book, Reunion, and the way it builds all of these values and practices into the way we do business. We'll be right back after a break.
The buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping. Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at www.tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
Everyone knows that losing weight fast is dangerous. In fact, the U.S. Government Center for Disease Control recommends losing no more than 1 to 2 pounds a week. But is that true? Startling new research shows that people who lose weight rapidly often have better long-term results. Now, award-winning researcher Dr. Dawson Church and registered dietitian Karen Donaldson team up to review all the evidence at 10poundsaweek.com. Download their free report at 10poundsaweek.com. That's 10poundsaweek.com. Make a six-figure income and help others overcome their deepest traumas, anxieties, and fears. It's easy to have a rewarding career in energy healing, and you can become certified in less than a year. Not sure if you'll like it? Try it. Download a free course sampler at newhealer.com. Taught by expert faculty at newhealer.com, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies, and you can even train at your own pace while supporting your own health. So visit newhealer.com. Do it now. That's newhealer.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Your DNA is not your destiny. There are many genes in your cells that are turned on and off by your emotions, your experiences, and even your beliefs. In his brilliant new book, The Genie in Your Genes, best-selling researcher Dr. Dawson Church shows how you can cultivate a stress-free mental state that activates the genes that boost your immunity and energy levels. Voted best health book by USA Book News, The Genie in Your Genes is packed with practical advice on how to apply the science of epigenetics for health and longevity. Get the genie in your genes today.
In our last 8 minutes together, as we're wrapping up the show in this next 8 minute segment, what's the biggest gift? What's the biggest takeaway we'd like to leave people with?
I think the most important thing is to be kind to oneself. You know, I was writing to a dear friend this morning, and she was noting in several of the comments you made about me, Dawson, you referred to me as wise. I'm not so sure about that.
That's a mark of wisdom, Jerry.
Perhaps. But I do endeavor to be kind. And I did a podcast conversation many years ago with Parker Palmer, and we talked about the fact that people will often come to us, in effect, and say, what is my purpose? And what we landed on was a simple question, which is, have I been kind to myself, to others in my life? When the going gets tough, have I turned to compassion? You know, if you want to take a step back and think about reunion, why did I write reunion? I wrote reunion because the world is so divided. We're at each other's throats. And children are dying because we have lost a sense of that we're one family, with all of its dysfunction that every family has. And so can we reach for kindness? As I wrote to a friend this morning, discovering empathy healed my broken heart. I know that that's a counterintuitive logic, but you know as well as I do how true that is. That if I can reach deep down inside empathetically, if I can be a bridge to the other and use compassion as currency for connection, then my life is better. And because of the power of interdependency and interconnectedness, your life is better. If I can make your life better, my life becomes better, and vice versa. So the last bit I would leave people with, and this is true for everybody, whether or not they hold power in our society, be kind. It's really that simple.
Yeah, and it's transformative as well to do that. I mean, look for little ways of doing it, too. There are big ways of being kind and obvious ways of being kind, but there are so many small ways of being kind. I've been studying the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali really intensively for the last few years, and one of the verses in chapter 3 of this amazing guide to awakening that's 3,000 years old, Patanjali says, "Let me tell you the most potent practice for developing concentration and samadhi." It's like, wow, I'm listening up. What is this? What's the most potent practice? And Jerry, that's what he says. He says, be nice to people. He says, be nice to people who aren't nice to you, especially. So for people who aren't nice to you, be nice to them. People who aren't nice to you, be nice to them as well. And what he also says is cultivate friendliness. Be proactively friendly. I don't know what the Sanskrit word is for that. It's proactively friendly. So, you know, since I read that a few months ago, I've been, like, rather than zoning out and just, like, buying things at the grocery store, I smile at the clerk. I check in with him or her. And, you know, it's just pretty powerful. My wife thinks I'm a little bit eccentric, so I'm, you know, going up and talking to strangers.
My children think the same thing of me. So.
Yeah.
You know, there's a practice that I would here recommend, which is to look in each other's eyes. Too often, I have this reputation for making people cry. And the secret is I actually look people in the eye. And I try to feel what they're feeling. Regardless if it's a room of 2,000 people, or we are so rarely met by someone who demonstrates presence and kindness, curiosity about what's happening for us. That releases a flood of tears. So be kind. That's what I would say.
Be kind. Find ways of doing it. Find ways of doing it that are proactive, where you can be in any situation and find a way of doing that. And look people in the eye is powerful. I especially enjoy looking children in the eye, so I usually will sit down and be on their level, because I'm 6'6", so I'm towering way above them. So what I'll do is I'll sit down and, three of my own children, I will sit down when they were little, and I would look them in the eye to eye, rather than tower above them. And it's just pretty wonderful to do that, to really connect with people, and it's such a rich experience. And it shifts both of you to do that.
Indeed, indeed. And I appreciate your self-awareness to recognize that you might be towering over people. When we meet live in person, you'll tower over me.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm used to it. The only person I'm not taller than is Tony Robbins. So it's like, you're taller than me, so. Tony. But what are some other proactive kindness, presence, and curiosity practices we can use?
Well, we stepped quickly past probably the most important act, which was to first be kind to oneself. You know, again, harkening back to the ways that we are complicit in creating the conditions in our lives, that question, that inquiry process can really promote a lot of self-criticism. And, you know, in my first book, Reading, I describe that inner critic as a crow who often sits on our shoulder telling us what a terrible person we are. What a terrible piece of writing that is. What a terrible piece of work that is. And I'm a big fan of jujitsu. I'm a big fan of Aikido, where we use the incoming energy and flip it around. And so what I recommend all the time is to understand that crow is actually trying to love you. It's trying to keep you from being humiliated. It's trying to keep you from shame. And if you can see that inner critic, not as the enemy, but as a misguided child trying to keep you safe from shame, and blow it a kiss, and then from that stance, tell it to stand down, that you've got this under control, you're an adult, you don't need to be protected from those forces of your childhood that made you internalize that criticism. You can love the crow, and that the crow no longer needs to sit on your shoulder, standing guard and making sure you don't make a fool of yourself. That act of self-love is foundational to all compassion.
Yeah, and deeply transformative. And again, is stepping back from that enmeshment with the crow on your shoulder and from your past patterns. Jerry, thank you so much for sharing with us. I felt your heart. I have so appreciated your advice and your recommendations here. And again, as you've been listening to this conversation with Jerry and I, you've got some rich ideas here and concepts to contemplate in your life, journal about, reflect on, and guide you on your journey. So thanks a lot for being part of our High Energy Health community. Jerry, thank you so much again for being here. It's been a joy and delight.
Well, the joy and delight has been mine, I assure you. Thank you for having me.
It's mutual. And till next time, be healthy, be happy, take care of yourself. Every blessing till then.
Epigenetics is the most exciting new field in science. It's the study of influences that turn your genes on and off. Epigenetics is a breakthrough in health and longevity, and you can learn all about it from two of the world's foremost experts. Dr. Bruce Lipton is the author of The Biology of Belief, and Dr. Dawson Church wrote The Genie in Your Genes. In a free presentation at ConsciousGene.com, they show how to apply epigenetics to boost your health, happiness, and energy levels naturally. Visit ConsciousGene.com. That's ConsciousGene.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
You have a to-do list, right? Well, that list may be your biggest obstacle to success. Sure, it contains activities that help you achieve your goals, but it's also packed with time-sucking obligations that are not in alignment with your life's purpose. In a new white paper, Dr. Dawson Church explains the difference between a to-do list and a success list. Download it at successlist.net. Create a success list, and successlist.net will show you how to manifest your dreams at light speed. See successlist.net.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Why do you attract the same kinds of people over and over again and look for love in all the wrong places? Scientific research has shown it's because of a personality pattern called your attachment style. Programmed early in your childhood, your attachment style dictates your relationship choices throughout your life. At LovingRelationshipsNow.com, Dr. Dawson Church demonstrates the three basic styles. A free quiz at LovingRelationshipsNow.com identifies the attachment styles of your friends and loved ones. Visit LovingRelationshipsNow.com.